Well, good morning, all. And just getting my stuff here together. So it is good to be here in the house of the Lord today and knowing that we are able to worship with our freedom that we have, that we still have. And just to let you know that we do have some people that are out today, and Phil and Savannah Marlowe is also out today because Phil's mother had passed away over the weekend. So he is there with family doing that. So you know how it is. You can always expect when you know someone, you're expecting someone to pass away. It doesn't really hit until you think you're there, until it actually happens. And many of you know what it's like to lose a parent or parents, and you know that it can be a hard one. But we are here in the house of the Lord today, and it's always good to sing that song, I'll Fly Away, because one day we will. We will if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it is our salvation is in Him. And so in your bulletins, I don't normally do this, but I'm giving you kind of my notes for this morning. It is the second coming. It is the end. What does it look like at the end of the age? At the end, what those signs are like at the end. So we're going to look at those this morning because we can sit here and we can sit and argue about, oh, am I a pre-trib, a mid-trib, or a post-trib, or whatever you want to talk about. It. Here's the key. Jesus is coming back. And we need to be ready. I'm a pre-trib. That's who I am. That's what I believe. I believe that we're going to be raptured out before this mess actually begins. I know that I have some friends that are mid-trib. I don't have anybody I know that's post-trib. But I'm a pre-trib. That's just what I believe. But I want to share with you today what it's going to look like. And you can start seeing some of the signs. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 24. That's where we're going to be. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1. It says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? Jesus asked, I tell you the truth, no, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and in the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of the wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. There's a lot into that. There is a lot into that. Now, sometimes as we go on, you'll be beginning to read, sometimes when Jesus is talking, he's talking to also about what is happening, going to happen in Israel as well. But I want to share with you today what it's going to look like when we are getting close to the end. And some of us will be able to see that some of us can see that we are getting closer as we are today. What we see here in these scriptures is one, as we see this, do not be deceived. We are not to be deceived. The only way you cannot be deceived is to have the Holy Spirit. Because your mind will play games with you, and your intelligence will try to come up, and your education will try to come up, and none of that trumps the Holy Spirit. And so we need to make sure that we're not being deceived right now, even with everything that's going on. It's easily to be deceived. It's easy to be deceived, but when we have Christ, now listen, I'm telling you, if you don't want to be deceived, you need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. You need to be walking in His will. You need to be you need to be having an active relationship with him on a daily basis. Don't think you can come in on Sunday morning and Wednesday you're still good, or Thursday you're still good, if you've not spent any time with the Lord. We need to all start exercising spiritually. Because if we don't, we're going to find ourselves being misled. Now listen, I'm going to say some things that can be really off, and I'm not trying to get on any tangents or anything. I'm just want to tell you the truth. And the truth is, it doesn't matter what the preacher says up at the front. If it's not the Word of God, he is not preaching God's Word. And churches or denominations is really opening up. We should be influencing the world, but the world has influenced the church so much now that churches feel like they have to go with the way the world is going. That's not what my Bible says. And that's not what the Bible says that you have. And you need to be careful of some of these new interpretations. They're taking words out that mean a lot. A lot. A lot, okay? You need to be cautious, because don't be deceived. Do not be deceived, okay? We are not to be deceived. Jesus says we're going to be deceived. He says, don't you be deceived. Don't you be deceived. We are not to be followers of the world. We are to be followers of Jesus Christ. We're to be followers of Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm telling you, you can't ride on the coattails of mom and dad and their salvation. You can't ride on the coattails of grandma or grandpa for their attendance in church. Back when they were going every Sunday and every Wednesday, every potluck dinner, they were there until the doors were open. You can't follow. You can't pull on those coattails. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't jump on any of the... You can't ride in on them. You got to ride in on Jesus. You got to be hanging on to him and his garment. Okay? You got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ yourself. He said there'll be also people will claim to be the Christ. We see that right now. We see that right now. There is individuals that claim to be Christ. There's a church down in Florida that claims he claims to be Christ. Everybody there's packing and carrying and all this, and they're all getting all the marriages, all this stuff going on. They're getting ready. He's not the Christ. But people are following. Many of you don't remember, but there was the Moonies. But some of you do. All love and everything. He said he was the Christ. By the way, he died a few years back. David Koresh said he was the Christ. Jim Jones said he was Jesus. Actually, Jim Jones said he was God. And all those people laying in that field out there in Central America, laying in that field, it's one of the most ugliest pictures you'll ever see. Men and women and children have followed a false Christ. There is only one Christ, and it is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who gave himself up in this life, his life up, that we might have life and have it with him. But also says in end times there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There's always a rumor of a war going on. And some people will say, well, where is this Christ? They always say that he is coming back. His people will know when they come back. Listen, you don't have to talk someone into coming to Christ. You don't need to talk someone in to be having a relationship with Jesus. You share your testimony. You share what the gospel says. Because, listen, the Bible says only a person can come when the Holy Spirit leads him and draws him. People, men and women, don't pick when they want to be saved. God puts an opportunity out there. Then they make a choice. They make a choice. But rumors and wars, they are going to happen. And Jesus says, it's okay. There's still things to come. These things are going to happen. Persecution and death. And we've not experienced that so much here in America. They have experiencing it in China, for sure. They're experiencing it in some other places. In India is a big place. In the Middle East is a big place. But not so much here yet. Not so much here yet. But the end times. The Bible says that these are the beginning of birth pains. Pains come and they go, and it keeps getting more and more intense. It says there'll be drought and famines and earthquakes and pestilence and diseases and all kinds of places. And we see that. And we're not even looking at the news. I mean, you look at the news and it's being covered by all kinds of stuff. And then you say, oh, there was an earthquake in California just last week. There was an earthquake over here. And you don't even hear about it anymore because it's not the drama news. But these things are happening. These things are happening. And they're intense. Could you imagine living back in the moment when the Black Plague was? Many people probably thought that might have been the end of the coming to the end, when millions of people died. But the earth continued to turn and people continued to live. We're doing that today. But Jesus gives a forewarning that there's going to be some signs for the end times. And persecution is coming to this country. And it will start with the church, and it will go to the preachers for what they preach, and it will go on from there and there. And here's what happens. There's a lot of churches, like I said, that will agree with what the world is doing, and they'll jump right. They've already jumped on the bandwagon of the world. So if I say anything about living together or homosexuality or pornography or even some of the other things that are going out there, and some churches are A-okay with that. And the world is trying to get more churches to do that. So the true churches are small, and America is very small, and they can just squash it out. But I'm also reminded that Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So we've got to remember, doesn't matter how much pressure the world puts on the church, it is the bride of Christ, and Christ will protect. He allows her to get into trouble from time to time, but God always protects the church. He protects His people because Christ sees more than we can see. We see our certain situation. We see our certain circumstances, but God sees the whole picture, and there's prophecy that must be fulfilled. And He said, many will turn from their faith. Many people will turn from the faith. Many people will turn from the faith. They'll turn from Christ. They'll go out and listen, what does the world really have to offer you? Really, what does it have to offer you that Christ has not already done for you? You want a godly man in your relationship? You want a godly woman in your relationship? You pray about that. You need a job? You need this, that? You pray about that. You talk to the Lord about that, but you keep your faith. You got to learn how to love the Lord, not just in the good times, but also in the bad times. You got to learn how to love Jesus when you're happy, also when you have sorrow. That's what you got to learn how to do. You got to learn how to worship Him, not just with smiles and uplifted hands, but with knees on the floor, hands reached out, and tears in your eyes, and learn how to worship Him there as well. And your relationship with God will continue to grow, but don't you walk away from the faith, because many will walk away from the faith. And we're seeing that today. Many people are walking away from the faith. Many people will walk away from the faith, and then they'll want to reach back to something that they had many, many years ago, and it really wasn't the real deal. Because I'm telling you, if you walk away from the faith and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you'll be known as that backsliding. But I want to tell you, when you're there, you will feel guilty every single day. You will feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit every single day. And then you'll start hardening your heart. And God is going to do some things in your life. And then that discipline comes in. Listen, you can't have the world way and the Christian way and expect God to bless you. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You can't live over here and expect God to bless you when you're living away from Him. It's not going to happen. You'll still receive the same blessings that the rest of the world gets. The sunshine brings the heat down. the rain, the clouds drop its rain. You'll get those things, but you will not get the true blessings of having, as a Christian ought to, as he lives his life in tune with the Holy Spirit, not falling away. So many people, let's know this, many people will fall away. Very few churches right now that are growing. They can say all they want about video and stuff, and we're doing that as well. But who's coming to the house? Who's coming to the worship house? Who's gathering? Listen, in this country, we have a freedom to be able to assemble ourselves together. We've had to fight here in the last couple of months to make things work right. And still, we have people that we understand that some people are not because of their age or their health. We get that. But many people, they just walk away. That's not what the Lord wants. There'll be many people who are going to walk away from the faith. False prophets will appear and deceive many people. False prophets will appear. False prophets are going to appear. People are going to come up and they're going to be very charismatic. Pay attention to me. They're going to be very charismatic. The days of sitting in a Sunday school thinking my Sunday school teacher is boring. He's got a monotone voice or she's got a monotone voice. Listen, you need, if they're teaching the word, get in there and do something. Help it go a little more. Put a little bump or a little step into it or something. Because I'm telling you, it's better to sit in that room if it's a monotone and get the truth than to go over here and listen to some charismatic individual telling you lies and deceiving you and pulling you away from Christ. Amen? Where you don't have to do any reading yourself. You just listen because, wow, they got to... See, if you listen, certain tones draw us. This is why on the radio, certain stations on the radio, certain people have it, and you'll listen and they'll have an English accent, an Australian accent. It'll be an accent that is kind of, it's kind of formulates a drawing. And people hire people because of their voices. Listen, when it comes to the Word of God, it isn't the man's voice or the woman's voice. It is the Word of God's voice that is true. It is, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And you make sure that you got the right interpretation. I'm not telling you to go King James or King James only or New King James. Whatever it is, you make sure that you put five or six Bibles up in front of them. And you did, that's what I do. I use them because I use some different versions. Today, I'm using NIV. But be careful because the NIVs are changing constantly. Mine is an old NIV. I like the old NIV. But the new ones, they're adjusting and they're taking big things out. So I won't buy a new one. So if you ever buy me a gift, don't buy me that. Because I won't give it back. Because I don't want that kind of version. Okay? And I don't want the other versions. All right? I want versions that are going to be, that's going to tell me that sin is sin. Did you hear me? What they're taking out is the sin part. Because we are living in a world where you're not supposed to offend me. You just offended me. You were living in a world where we're not supposed to be. Well, listen, the Bible, the gospel is offensive. The gospel is offensive. As much as it loves, it will tell you that without Jesus Christ, you are lost. You are headed to a place of pain and gnashing of teeth and suffering. That's where you're headed. Why? Because how you lived your life. We're all born into sin. But it tells you that false preachers, false pastors will appear and deceive many. You know, and you're listening to people on the radio, they might have a great message, but check out that person. Sometimes it is a good message until you start really digging into it. Get your own Bible. Look at it. Check this person out. Sometimes they'll do three or four services and then they'll throw that hook in there and you're like, I like this person. And you just be very, very careful. False prophets will appear. Wickedness will increase. Wickedness will increase. This is a big one now. Wickedness will increase and love will decrease. Wickedness will increase. It's an ugly world out there, and it's getting uglier. There's such anger in the atmosphere right now. There's so much anger in the atmosphere. Wickedness is rising up, saying everything that wickedness does is right. What's right is wrong. Now what's wrong is now right. And wickedness is rising up and is increasing. We're doing things now that a year ago you'd be arrested for, and we're letting it go. I'm not talking about any of the causes or anything. I'm just talking about you do something, it is wrong, you'd be arrested. Now that is being whatever. It's okay. We don't want to offend anybody. I would be chastised for that. I wouldn't be surprised if I get something on my email for that, what I just said. But I'm telling you this, the world may be changing, but the scriptures are not changing. And we're held to the accountability of these scriptures just as much as they were 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago. The same Jesus that they read about then is the same Jesus we're reading about today. It applies to you today. Wickedness will increase, and it is being wicked. You can see, I hope you can see the spiritual darkness that is rising up right now. Things that were done, that things are being done, you would have been arrested for a year ago, flat out. No questions asked. And people were taking a blind eye to it. It's wickedness. And there's anger and hate and all a lot of that and bitterness. And it's, the Bible says that love will decrease. I'm not even hearing that word anywhere. And the church has gotten so much busy about talking about how to get your church into be more people, how to build your church up to be this, how to get more visitors, how to grow in this area. And all along we should be sharing the love of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we're not wise. It doesn't mean that we don't have standards. It doesn't mean that you know, this church here is accepts all people. We love them, but we will preach and teach truth. We can do it in love, not in hate, not in anger, but we do it in love. We do it in love. Listen, there has never been a time than right now that I can see, and I can see where the weight of love and the weight of forgiveness and the weight of direction and spiritual things are on the church right now more than I've seen at any other time. There's no leadership in this world, right? And there's no leadership, much leadership right now. The church must rise up and be leaders. They must lead in love, but in truth. But wickedness will increase and love will decrease. Violence and lawlessness will also increase. Violence and lawlessness. Do I have to say anything about that? It's truly becoming us against them and them against us. If you were here two Wednesdays ago, whole message on it isn't against us, against them, and them against us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ as he stood before Joshua. But violence and lawlessness will increase. Now, if you're a Christian right now, you would probably be thinking, these are pretty hard things. It makes people nervous. It can give us some fear in what's going on. I'm telling you, here's what it is. We know and we believe that the weight of a soul is important, but I'm telling you, when these things start calculating, it becomes more and more vital and more focused that we should be there. We need to start sharing the gospel. We need to start sharing the gospel. Because it's going to come a time, and we're going to get there here in just a few minutes, but there's going to come a time when that trumpet's going to sound and the believers are going to be gone. But the Bible also says the gospel must be preached all across the world. The Bible must be preached in all of the world. That's a lot of stuff. The book of Mark puts a couple more things in. It says family members will betray each other. I thought everything, you know, there's nothing thicker than blood, right? When you get deceived, family members are going to betray family members. Children will rebel against their parents. Children will have their parents put to death. Arrested and put to death. You don't think it's going to happen? It's going to happen. Especially once it moves into the tribulation time of taking the number of the beast, 666. Daddy didn't do it. He's over there. Give me some more brownie. Dad didn't take the number yet. And people are going to be arrested. Believers will be hated by all. So we see that believers will be, the believers will be hated by all. As it continues there toward the end of time, these are signs that are happening, but also goes into the tribulation. We're not going there, but of that 144,000. I just had to say that because I know somebody's thinking that right now. So it's not going to be a great time. Just going to tell you, it's not going to be a great time. This is why Scripture keeps telling us not to put things, not to covet the things of the world, not to build up treasures here. Jesus kept telling us that, but build up treasures in heaven. There's a reason. There's a purpose. One of two things are going to happen, folks. Every one of you need to know this. One of two things are going to happen. One, you're either going to die, because the Bible says you're born, and you're going to die. The Bible says you brought nothing into this world, and you can take nothing out. You're either going to die, or while you're living, Jesus Christ is going to come. You better be ready to face what you need to know what's going to happen. You need to know what's going to happen, because I believe there is hope. While you breathe, there is hope. John 16:33 tells us this: these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying that he has overcome the world by his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus has overcome the world. One day this building will not be standing here. In the end, it will be demolished. But there'll be also a moment where we're not sure really what would happen with this building. If Jesus comes, oh, I'm not going to be here. If he comes while I'm still alive, I'm not going to be here. He'll call me. Just like he'll call you as a believer, this building will be here. I would not be surprised, my opinion, I would not be surprised if the buildings, the church buildings were used just as it's going to happen in the temple in Israel. It's going to be used for the works of the dark side. It could be the place where they're going to put people in and line them all up and say, okay, it's your turn. You did not take your rest to take them in and say, listen, you need to know, are you going to take the number of the beast, or are we going to take you out back and we're going to take care of business? And that's the taking of your head. Listen, Jesus is not playing around with this salvation piece, but I'm telling you, on the other side, the Antichrist is not playing around. He wants your soul. He wants you to follow into his path. This is real stuff. This is what is coming and going to take place. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us this. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Take it serious. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now, is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So if someone needs Christ in their life, they need to do it today. You need to do it today. You don't want to get caught. You don't want to get caught. You don't want to get caught. The second coming, you don't want to get caught at the rapture piece. You don't want to get caught at death without Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person, and they with me. Basically, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. That door he's talking about is your heart. I stand at the door and I knock at your heart. If you let me in, I'll come in. But Jesus will not force himself in. What kind of relationship is that? You can't force a relationship. Jesus offers a relationship. On your paper here, if you open it up, I give you those things on the other side, but on the other side of it, you'll see those circles. You'll see that there's a rapture. I don't have time to bust out all these verses, because I'm telling you, you can go into Daniel 10, 11, through all that. You can go through there. 9, you can go through Daniel. You can go through some Isaiah stuff. You can go through Revelations. You can go through Matthew. You can go through Mark. There's a lot, okay? Isaiah's got some awesome stuff. But they're all telling us that there's going to come a time when the world is over. Rapture. It's the taking of of the believers. Jesus, the trumpet sound. The believers are taken into heaven. But those who are left here will believe the lie. Will believe the lie. It'll be the lie that the world puts out. Believe the lie that the world puts out. And they'll believe it. Okay? And in the judgment seat of Christ, believers are judged and rewarded. Now, some people, we get these kind of out of order. I'm just kind of helping you today. Believers are judged and rewarded. Not because of... this isn't if you're saved or you're not saved. You wouldn't be there if you weren't saved. Amen? Okay? You wouldn't be there. You only be there if you're saved. Now listen, you can disagree with me today on some of this stuff, but I will tell you, the Bible says that Jesus is coming back, and you need to be ready. You need to be ready. This isn't a fearful thing. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. We have moments down here where the Holy Spirit just intercedes in an awesome, magnified way that we just like, we walk out of a place and we go through something, man, the Lord was there. It was just amazing. When we're there, the Lord is always there. So we should be excited about the rapture. If we're believers, we should be excited. The judgment seat of Christ is how we, did we do what God's called us to do? It's that judging, being judged about the rewards. Listen, if you think, I don't care about rewards in heaven. Yeah, you do. You should. You're going to be there for a long, long, everlasting. I just want to make it in. No. Anybody here like to give gifts? Who's got the spiritual gift of giving? Come on, lift your hand up. Who's got the spiritual gift of giving? You like to give. Let me tell you. You got the spiritual gift. Where'd you get that spiritual gift from? You got it from the Lord. That's a spiritual gift. You got it from the Lord. And if the Lord give you a little bit of that to know how to give, what do you think He likes to do? He loves to give. How would we hurt Him if He had nothing to give us? No. You serve the Lord. You do what He's called you to do. Use the spiritual gifts He's given you, but He will judge and we will be rewarded. This takes place in heaven, not on earth, but in heaven. Okay? It takes place in heaven. This is going on also when the seven-year tribulation, when the rapture happens and the seven-year tribulation happens. 7 years of tribulation on the earth. So the first 3.5 is really hard. Really tough. But the next half of it is really, 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 really bad. It's worse than anything ever. It's just that 7 years was just horrible. Listen, who's the leader? The Antichrist. He don't lead in anything that's good. Hey, is you going to use and manipulate? He's going to lie. He's going to get wounded. He's going to heal himself. He's going to be this God. They're going to worship Him. They're going to knock down in the temple. They're going to rise up a statue of Him. Woo! That's really bad. He wants to be God. He wants to be God. And the Antichrist will rise to power. Listen, the believers are gone. Now if you read your scriptures, you'll see that there's 144,000 people that will be Jews that will be left here. Be very, very special people. They're going to be awesome. They're not going to like them. God's going to write it on them, and it's going to be awesome. But I'm not going to be here for that. I don't believe I'm going to be here for that. And then there's the millennium. People get confused about that. That's Christ's reign for 1,000 years on the earth. We're not going to get into that, where Satan gets thrown in there, gets chained up for 1,000 years, all that. But then there's the great white throne judgment, and that's the unbelievers are judged and cast into the lake of fire. And we see Satan and Lucifer and the Antichrist. We see all that thrown in, and then that is all done. But we have a life to live right now. We have a life to live right now. And this is what it is. You have the Word of God in front of you that you can read and look into it. And you're going to have a lot of questions when you start. And some of those questions, when you read God's Word, you're going to find answers to. Praise the Lord for that. But you're also, the Spirit's going to, there's going to be more questions. There are new questions that are going to rise up. And you're like, I'm getting frustrated. I can't figure it out. And you keep reading. But this is exactly what the Lord wants. He wants you to keep reading. You just don't get it. You have to have some questions. And it draws us back to the Word of God so that we dig and we read it so that we be more prepared and ready for it, that we might understand some of the basic piece. It might not be that you get so much understanding on certain things, but that you understand the basic things, that you learn how to love the lost person and know that that person's soul is weighing in the balance, that you learn that, listen, it comes to the part where you need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're not doing that. We're not sharing the gospel like we should. Today is the day of salvation. These messages either draw people, if I was to publicize, put it out there that we're going to talk about this for so many weeks, and we're going to do this 3 or 4 nights in a row, we're going to talk about end times, you will draw, that usually draws a crowd pretty quick. One, people just want to know. They have a lot of questions. Number two, people stay away from it because they're scared to death. They are living with fear. We as believers ought to walk into a place like that and go, you know what? I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready. Yes, there's some things in this world. Life is a gift and God blesses on this world. But if this is God's time and He's setting it up in the near future here in our lifespan, then we need to be ready. If not, we need to be ready to face Him in our death. Basically, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. Because you're not going to stand there with everybody around you. You're going to stand there on your own. Unless you have Jesus Christ, you'll stand there with Him. But if you don't have Christ, you will stand there on your own, and you cannot answer the living God in your own voice. You cannot stand before the living God, and sin and all that stuff, as a lost person in front of God. You just can't do it. The Bible says even the demons believe in the Lord Jesus, but they're not going to make it. But the Bible says they shudder. Every time Jesus walked on the scene, they were just scared, fearful. They thought the time was now. They knew it was so bad, they thought maybe the time is now. We need to be thinking somewhat with the same concept. Maybe the time is now. But listen, if you think it's all hogwash, I'm telling you, number one, you're deceived. You're being deceived right now. If you think that guy up here on that stage don't know what he's talking about, you're being deceived. There's some things I need to work on with this. This is a deep topic. But I told you some of the basic things that are in God's Word right here about the end times. And the first piece is, do not be deceived. Listen, Satan is working, and they are working hard. They're setting up. They have a purpose. They have an agenda. And they're always using people. Lost people. Always. Always. Now, you've seen the paper that's in your bulletin. You either looked at it, whatever attitude that you had, I hope it was good. You might add some questions. I did the study. I'm still asking some more questions. But what's it do? It puts me back in God's Word. It puts me asking for seeking. What does He want me to learn from this? It always keeps coming back. Am I ready? Whatever I'm studying on, this is always, I have to look in the mirror. Am I ready? Am I ready with whatever responsibilities God's given to me? Am I ready to go and face the Lord? Today, you're either a believer or you're not. I'm not talking about just believing in God. I'm talking about believing in God's plan and His whole vision of saving the world. And His mission was to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross for all the sins of mankind. That they could stand and we can ask Christ into our life as we are all sinners and ask Christ to be in our life and let Him be Lord of our life. And we believe and we have that system is up and rising in us and we become a new person. We have that, what we call the gift of salvation, that we received it. That we received it. You either have salvation in your life or you don't. Now, as a believer, you can be backslidden, you can be in some different areas, which means you might want to get some things right with the Lord, and walk away from some things, walk to Him. But if you don't know Christ, this is the day of salvation and you need Him, because I'm telling you, you cannot do this on your own if you want to do it right. You can't. You have to have Jesus Christ. We're living in a time when they're trying to tell us, not the first time ever, that churches were told not to open. It's just a force. That was a foreplan, whatever, however it worked. Darkness. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again where we're not going to be able to meet like this. We need to take advantage of what we have right now. Share the gospel. Take a chance and share it. Don't be embarrassed. Just share it. Bible says the Lord will give you the words anyway. So we're going to have a moment here. If you want to come, you just want to process what was said today, you can pray over that where you're at. But if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's not where it needs to be, then I'm telling you, where you need to be is on your knees before God. If you need Christ in your life and you don't have Him, I'll share the gospel with you here this morning today.